Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's CC Pop. And it stands for Comics Crowdfunded, Print on Demand, and Other Podcast. So I've only put out two of these. My intent was to put out one a month. I just haven't had time. Well, today I had taken the day off because I planned ahead and took an extra vacation day, a couple of days, in case I had any side effects from my second COVID shot. Because historically, my family has had symptoms, like minor symptoms, like body aches and stuff like that, after taking the shot. Well, so far, I'm about 4 hours in, and I haven't experienced anything, so hopefully I'll be saying the same thing tonight, but we'll see. And hopefully, I won't have any side effects. But anyway, I'm gonna grab my water so I'm all hydrated and come over and talk about some comics. So, all of these in three of, I'm gonna talk about three books today. And two of them, one of them is a continuation of another Kickstarter that I got. In other words, it's issue two and three. I missed issue two, but I like when Kickstarters understand that you might have missed an issue and they let you have an add-on option or an option that says, well, you might have missed two, but here's two and three. And this particular one is like Eerie Magazine. Like there was a Warren magazine called Eerie, and this one's spelled differently. It's spelled EYRIE. And I supported a Kickstarter with number one, and I said, oh man, I like these horror anthologies. I really do. They have a host. This host is a particular I don't even know if they give his name, but he's one of those guys that has an axe. He's kind of like the hangman, but he beheads people, like the ones that they had in France back in the day. You know, they'd put him on the guillotine, and the axe guy would come and chop him out. Well, he's the host. All of these like horror magazines, they have a host, and this guy's the host. He comes and chops off heads. And there's also a female sort of host, and I'm not sure what his name is. Oh yeah, this guy's definitely French. He's even talking. He goes, "Bonjour, mon frères." He's t you know that's how he introduces it. A lot of these stories are by Hoffman, Mike Hoffman. The cover's Mike Hoffman. He's an artist and also a publisher. They're Mike Hoffman and Jason Crawley on story, and artwork is Mike Hoffman and Jason Paulos. This is a magazine type format. Really happy with the content. As far as the shipping, when they shipped it, everything was timely. This is a Mike Hoffman publication. The only thing that I could say that I was unhappy with is the way it was shipped. It was shipped kind of like in a folder, which is fine. It had a board to try to keep it straight, but it wasn't like a double board. So there's these creases, pretty big creases on the left-hand corner of one corner, and the other one has a crease on the right, the top edge, and they're pretty significant creases. Like anybody, issue three looks a lot better than issue two. Issue two looks like it's bent pretty bad. It doesn't bother me because this book is probably nothing that's gonna go up in value, and if it did, oh well. That's me, on me, because I didn't contact them and say, hey, you know, my comic's a little bit damaged. Can you ship it a little bit better? These are kind of like meant to be like disposable magazines anyway, like back in the day, although they are collectibles these days. The other thing I noticed is that you can buy a yearly subscription. So if you're interested in not getting through the Kickstarter, you can send correspondence to eeriemag@gmail.com. That's spelled EYRIE mag@gmail.com. And go there, or you could go to their Facebook page at facebook.com slash Von Hoffman Presents. And it seems like you can get a yearly subscription. And they do have a letters page, so you could send letters to them. You could get a t-shirt, like an eerie t-shirt, which looks really cool. And it's a great magazine. There's no advertisements except for some advertisements for itself. In other words, showing you what's coming in the next issue. And I think I get who the hosts are now. Okay, so this guy's a guy who beheads people. He's French and he beheads people. On the back, it has him sitting on a stump. And there's a woman carrying the head of somebody he just beheaded. Well, this woman that's there, this hangman guy, it says, "Heads I win," and the woman says, "And tails you lose." Well, she hosts a lot of the stories, and you'll notice that her neck is severed, like she's been decapitated too. So she's a pretty sexy woman, and he might be like her the. Kind of like the assistant, even though she's dead. So this breaks out a couple of stories. One's called An Artist Model, The Hitchhiker, The Gun Player, Curse of the Onion Flowers, Out for the Count, and Witness from the Gate Grave. Each story is about 8 pages or more. The first story is by J. Crowley and Von Hoffman. And it's introduced by our hangman, guillotine guy. And this one I liked quite a bit because this guy is like he's like a comic book artist. And he's being judgmental about a sculpture gallery that he's coming across. He walks by this gallery every night and he's like, "What are these sculptures? How passe. These things look highly realistic. Oh, the door's open." You know, he's like criticizing, critiquing the stuff while he's looking in the window, and the door's open. I think I'm going to look around. So he pokes around, looks at some of the art, and then decides to go back home. Well, he goes back home, and, the next day at work, he is told by his boss, "What do you call this? You call this artwork? And we have a tight deadline on this Dinky Duck comic, and you're not doing your job." And he's like, "I'll fix it up, boss, and meet the deadline, no sweat." And he says, "Jap flapping Kirby, you ain't." And he's blaming like the haunting images that he saw in that display window. So the next day he goes by that gallery again. The display's open. He picks up one of those heads that's displayed in the gallery and drops it. The plaster breaks off of it, and he sees it's real flesh. And he's like, "Oh fuck, this is real." And then a sexy woman with one of those like fancy cigarettes, you know, like the long string, and then you put the cigarette at the end of it, comes in, very sexy. And she says, you know, they start talking about it being lifelike, and now he knows what's going on. And she essentially kills him. And then next thing you see is his head being displayed. So no more comics by that guy. No more Dinky Duck. The next one is The Hitchhiker. This is by Crowley and Hoffman. This one I like quite a bit. It's about this hitchhiker named Joe. And one of the cooks is telling him, "Wow, they just discovered a, you know, another dead body of a girl, and there's been serial killings of a lot of women in this area. Well, it turns out this trucker is, he'll pick up hitchhikers and then kill the women. Well, he picks up this one hitchhiker again, and he invites her into the cab and says, "You look familiar." And she looks at him, and well, it turns out she's the ghost of a woman that he already killed. And he ends up wrecking his truck and dying and burning up alive. So you could kind of get the gist of what these stories like Tales from the Crypt and stuff like that. The gun player, this one you don't really get unless you read carefully, but this woman is called, and her son is dead, and he had killed a lot of people with a handgun. And she's like on the other line, and she's talking to the cops of such, and says, "I swear to you, John, maybe the warden, but you're a family friend too. But I can be totally honest. I still can't see how he got so interested in guns. We never had any at home." And then it zooms out, and you see the home and the shape of the home, and its design. The shape of the home looks exactly like a gun, like a pistol. It's crazy. That was just a two-page one. And then the Curse of the Onion Flowers. It's about a couple that loves one another. And the woman, they're making out, and she looks at this tree, and she sees like this nasty growth on this tree, and she's like, "What is that?" And the guy doesn't know what it is, and then they just leave. And they go to the restaurant, and they have an onion flower, like one of those onion things, and they eat it. And then the next day, she goes, talks to her boyfriend. She walks in on him, and he's looking at porn, and he's talking about booty and all this other crap. Sorry, I had to sneeze. But she walks in on him, and she breaks up with him because, and then she goes to his house because she wants to see how he's doing. She notices he's depressed. She still loves him. But he answers the door, and it looks like there's somebody in the back there on over his shoulder, and he's like, "I wonder what's going on." And then she goes to check on him the next day, and he's there on the floor, and he has this huge onion growing out of his back, just like what was going on that tree. And he ended up dying. And I guess this city is wherever they live, a lot of people are dying by these growths. Very strange. And then there's an ad for itself. And you get a story out for the count. This is a vampire story. This guy's carrying his boss in one of those carriages, and they get hijacked by these two robbers on the street. And they club the guy driving the cart, and they take the guy that's in the carriage to the castle. And there is a vampire in that castle, and his name is Count something ridiculous. I can't remember what his name is. Count Hoffman or something like that, based on Mike Hoffman, who writes it. But Count Hoffman is gonna drink. It turns out that this guy here is seeking revenge because Count Hoffman killed his lover, like his wife. And he got power from the gypsies that turned him into a werewolf, and now he's going to kill the vampire. And then the last one is Witness from the Grave, art and story by Von Kralhoff. I like the art on this one, it looks really cool. And this one is about a guy that works in a laboratory all the time, and his wife is saying, "Stop these insane experiments, and or I'm going to go to the police about these, and you're destroying our marriage." And he pushes her down the stairs and breaks her neck, and he continues his experiments. He's kind of like Dr. Frankenstein, and he hires these two guys to go get a brain for him so he can put in the body that he's creating of his monster. Well, they get the brain from the wife he just killed, and he puts her brain into this sexy woman, like Frankenstein woman, and it turns out to be his wife. And well, what does his wife want? He wants to seek revenge for getting killed. So, really cool. There's a letters page called The Chopping Block, and it has somebody from Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's pretty cool. But the other thing that somebody was talking about here is it looks similar to Bloch's Terrible Tomb of Terror. So it looks like Mike Hoffman had a previous publication. And this guy does mention Creeps magazine. I guess he doesn't have a good relationship with Creeps. But he wanted to do his own thing, which is interesting because I love Creeps magazine as well. It's something I subscribe to. I wanted to look up that comic book in my database to see if it shows up. Let me see what it comes out. It's a where did I see the title of it? Tomb Stories. No, I can't find it. Terrible Tomb of Terror. So I'll just search for Tomb of Terror. Okay, so there is a magazine called Tomb of Terror. And let me see. It was by Harvey. I want to see if there's any Mike Hoffman in here. No, I don't see it. But he was asking if this Tomb of Terror was sort of like reprinting, if this Eerie was reprinting stories from Tomb of Terror. And he said, no, these are original stories. So, yeah, if you want to check out Tomb of Terror from 1952 and 1951, there's another Tomb of Terror, but that's a Marvel one. And that came out in 2010, so that looks like it's an anthology of sorts. But Eerie number three, so I purchased these. And these are cover price of about $8. Really good Kickstarter cost because he doesn't charge like a lot extra. Maybe that's why shipping is so cheap, and maybe that's why I have dents. And I'm willing to accept that if this is like more of a magazine periodical. This one has the Ice Shaman, OM. Red Tape, Witches Storm, and Triple Hex Curse. This one I had less stories that I liked, but the Ice Shaman was a good one. That was about a shaman that he got as he got older, he became more mysterious and started to isolate from the tribe. And this might be in Alaska. Where does this thing take place? It's a polar region. I don't know if they said where it was. But he like separated from his people, and he put a curse on the town, and in one instance they come back to their women as they go hunting, and they left one hunter behind and says, "You protect the women while we're gone." Well, the women were eating the guy, like the guy that was put there to protect them, and then later on all the women are dead, and he sort of goes to kill like most of the tribe, and then the main character he gets into a fight with the main character, and the main character survives because of one of those whales that have the horn on the tip of their nose actually pierces him and kills the shaman. So he kind of like lucked out. The alien one is weird. It's about aliens that visit humanity and sort of give us a bunch of stuff, and then we turn nuts. And then they're no longer welcomed. But then I didn't understand because later on a human came and he arrived, and the people were not human anymore. And they were just repeating the words of the aliens. Red Tape. This one is a collector, like comic collector, movie collector, anybody like me or you. He collects a lot of things, and he's at a a place like an antique store buying a couple of collects. He goes, "Wow, my lucky day, a pristine copy of Grunt, the wrestling movie, an old Captain Yank comic, and a 1962 paperback, The Erection Set." And then he picks up a VHS tape called My Art 16. This is the best story out of both magazines, because he picks up this random video cassette, and there's a lot of horror movies about video cassettes. Like I remember there was one from Japan that was remade in America. Can't remember if it was The Ring or one of those offshoots, but they put the video. If you watch the video, you're like, cursed. Well, this video he puts in, and this guy comes on, and he's like, "Well, I'm a killer. I've killed all these women. Here's where I killed them. Here's where they exist. Blah blah blah." He gives all these facts out, and this guy's like, "Holy shit! I better call the cops." So he calls the cops, and he's like, "You know, this tape reveals that the killer to all of these women that worked at the strip club called the Stallion Barn, and I'm coming to testify and give you the evidence." And well, they watch the tape, and there's nothing on the fucking tape. But he gives the cops so many facts that the cops think he did it. And it's like the one woman that I was telling you about that was beheaded. She's the host of this one, and says, "We may never know for sure, like what really happened. Was he the killer? Was it a VHS vision that was put into his mind? Or does he just have split personality?" And she's like, "We will never know." And it ends like on that cliffhanger. There's one called Winter Storm. This one I didn't quite get, other than the art was really sort of beautiful sketch art. Especially the women, they're gorgeous. And it's sort of about one witch that, has this town. I guess they both have, and then this other witch, or witch in training, sort of steals the book and becomes an apprentice without the other witch knowing, and summons up a demon, and the demon has sex with her, and she has a baby, and the baby has like one horn like on the side of his head. It's really weird, and that baby grows up, and that's her son. And then this old man that sort of helps raise her son, and the other witch's son, they get into a horrible fight. And I guess when the old man dies, and then I didn't understand what happened afterwards. And then you get Madame Griselda's video shop. A lot of videotape stuff, which is really cool. This one was awesome because there's three guys. They're like, "Wow, a video rental store still exists? Man, these are for dinosaurs, man, but let's go check this out." They go in there and they see like an old woman running the store, and she's asleep. And they're like looking at a bunch of horror movies in the back, and they're like, "Man, what's up with these horror movies? I've never seen anything like this." And it's, "Why all the victims on the back of the cover look like us? It's so weird." And they head back into the adult section. And back in the day in the video store, you'd usually see a curtain, and then you'd see all the porn videos beyond the curtain that they'd only let adults in. But as a young teenager, you'd always try to sneak an eye in there and see what's going on. But anyway, they get back there, they see all these videos, and this old woman comes in and says, "You kids, get out of here. You're not old enough to see that stuff." And then the dog chases him out, but the guy steals a videotape of Triple Hex. And they watch it, and as they're watching this porn movie, they get sucked into the TV, and they're like, "Oh, this is weird. We're all virgins, but it looks like we're going to get laid in whatever world this is." And then the sexy woman comes out and starts talking to him, and like, "Wow, this is going to be good stuff." And then she's like, "Hey, get down there and suck my toes." And it's weird because then her toes sort of like, I can't even describe. She like generates like 3 feet for the three dudes. And, sexy women only have like 2 feet. This suddenly has 3 feet, and they start sucking the toes, and it rips off their mouth when they try to pull away from sucking her toes. It's so fucking weird. And then she like takes off all their clothes, and then their wieners all get fused together, and then they like end up like in this spiral tilt-a-whirl. And then the witch, and that's how the thing ends. So these guys die as they were sucked into their TV, and they had found an old VHS player to play these on, and they're all dead now. So I really think you should jump on these if these seem interesting to you. Like I said, you could probably make a subscription to mikehoffman.com/eerie-sub. You could check it out. It sounds like bi-monthly issues. You can get a year subscription for $66, shipped to your door. Or you can go the Kickstarter route, because the Kickstarter route, they've already solicited number four. So I have one, two, and three, and I'm going to have number four soon. The next book I'm going to talk about is from a publisher that I've talked about before. It's from Evolution Publishing. This is Marcel Dupuis's company, and I like all of the material that I buy from this guy. I always get the books. I always get communication if they're running late. They're a little more expensive sometimes than I'd like to pay. They're pretty much $3.99 books, but you pay 10 plus shipping. I think he's getting quite the library to actually be put in previews, if previews is going to still exist. Because who knows, with Marvel going to Penguin Random House and DC is with Lunar, who knows what's going to happen to what's left? Because most of Diamond's business was Marvel, and now they don't have the Marvel business anymore. And they have shops that could still go through Diamond to get their Marvel comics. But how many will, especially when the smaller stores could get 50% off, no charge on shipping, and if they go through Diamond, it'll be much more expensive for them. So who knows what's going to happen or who's going to get affected? I know somebody will publish these comics. I just don't know if there's going to be a delay or if Diamond's going to just become a publisher of the back half, which is Previews Magazine, because Marvel's puts out their own supplement, and when DC was there, they put their own supplement out. So they could still have Previews Magazine, but my hope is always that Evolution, sometimes called No Sleep, will become part of a publishing house. Like Scout, maybe be a Scout imprint. Scout has a couple of imprints. One of them's a horror line, like I forget what it's called, like Black something, and it's their horror line. If they could do a Evolution or something, or Sourcepoint Press or any of those publishers could pick up this, I'd much rather just subscribe to everything and save a lot of money. I know that sounds selfish, but Kickstarters are expensive, and it's a hobby that you gotta, if you're willing to pay for, you will be rewarded with some cool stories. But it does cost a lot, and sometimes it's cost prohibitive to a lot of people. So if we wanted to see this publisher see a lot more eyes, maybe they could kickstart and publish on with a publisher. I know that Hero Tomorrow is now doing that. Hero Tomorrow is a publisher that started off in Diamond previews, and now they're starting to go the Kickstarter route, and once the Kickstarter releases, they publish it in Diamond previews. With that publisher, what I like about that is I still do the Kickstarter instead of the previews, although the previews I'd save a lot of money because I get like a 30% discount. Instead, I go with the Kickstarter, but I can get like a lot of exclusive covers. They have like six or seven covers per issue, And if you order through previews, you only get like the cover A and cover B options. And I really like this publisher. He's like doing his own universe. There's been like Apama, Tap Dance Killer, oh, what is that? I can't remember what the other one, Bloom. And then there was one that's, man, I hate when my brain stops working. Joker's New Girlfriend. He had another comic called that, but it's not ringing a bell. Why is it not? Let me see what I know what I can do. Let's see. It's Punchline. God, I couldn't remember the goddamn name of Punchline. So bad. But anyway, he had his own Punchline. He had to sort of title it slightly different, I guess. Even though I think he was first to mention Punchline before DC even mentioned Punchline, because Punchline sort of came about under the radar. A lot of the DC stuff later has been sort of been under the radar. Like they released Joker 2, and Joker 2 has the first appearance, supposed first appearance of a Bane's daughter. Although some people are arguing that Bane's daughter or Bane's family actually show up in Old Lady Harley. So they're saying that's really her first appearance. But then again, Old Lady Harley, sort of like an Elseworld. So I don't know. It all gets sort of complicated. But anyway, Warbound. With Evolution, you may have some nudity. In this one, you don't have any nudity. What could this be similar to? Berserker, sort of like that. There was another Kickstarter that I supported. I can't remember what that one was called. And I probably am not going to be easily be able to find it, but I know the artist was Zach Bassett on it because he's my artist for the comic book that I'm doing. And it was similar in content to that one in terms of a warrior, but if you like these Highlander or things like that, I think you'll dig Warbound. Warbound, he takes place in a world of superheroes. The reason you know that is because he was with a bunch of superheroes when he was sort of arrested, and they get like quotes from all the team. And they're basically all saying essentially that this guy Warbound is a loose cannon and that he doesn't care about the people. He only cares about the mission. And the mission is essentially is he's sort of immortal going back in time to a certain point in time where his tribe was essentially slaughtered by a sorcerer and his wife was slaughtered and this tribe had its own sorcerer, and that he got slaughtered. Well, at least you think he got killed, but later on you realize that he was dying, but he's still alive. And he was supposed to protect a sword, so he goes to grab this sword, and then the bad sorcerer comes in and kills him. And that's when the other sorcerer, who we thought was dead, that was in his tribe, is dying, but he transfers over power and life into this character called Warbound. And he has superhuman strength. He has immortality and stuff like that. And he's getting interviewed by a doctor who's trying to figure out, he's trying to fill in like the information, trying to get him out of, maybe get him out of this prison. Another character that this kind of reminded me of about is there's a character called from DC Comics called Bloodhound, and he sort of originated in jail, and then an investigator got him out of jail. Bloodhound's an interesting thing too because the rights were at DC, and after I guess their 10-year, 15-year period, they reverted back to the creator. Let me see who's the creator of Bloodhound. That's Dan Jolly. So the rights reverted back to Dan Jolly. It was drawn by Leonard Kirk. So it ran from 2004 to 2005. Wow, there's another bloodhound called from Angel Comics. That's got a that cover looks like Diodato, but it's not. That's interesting. I might be this one looks like there's a lot of nudity in it, but it's red in the database. But there's the Bloodhound Crowbar Medicine from Dark Horse in 2013, which Dan Jolly again worked with Leonard Kirk, and it went to Dark Horse because it reverted back to him, and I think he came out with a trade. There's a lot of good things with blood in it. Blood Hunter from Brainstorm Comics. Totally 90s, 1996. This is when comics were just blowing up. And I'm so fascinated by the 90s. I really am. But anyway, Warbound seems like an interesting premise. He's his eternal goal is to find this sorcerer and kill him. And right now he's in prison and you're learning his backstory. And I think Warbound number 2 is already solicited on Kickstarter to pick that up. And I'm sure you can go on to the Kickstarter and say, I don't have number 1, but give me number 1 and 2. If you go to my Twitter page, you can see covers for all of these. You can see the covers for Eerie, and they'll be released on this episode as well. But another recommendation for an Evolution publishing property, and it came with a print on the back, which really looks nice. The artist is extreme. The one thing I will say about this company is they're not like amateurs. They're not. They're top quality of anything that you'll see in previews. And Dupree does quite a good diverse line of books. You can get fantasy, you can get action, you can get superheroes, you can get LeFay. That's probably his biggest one. There's a lot of interesting Kickstarters you can get. He's putting out a sci-fi anthology. That one he did on Indiegogo. I don't like Indiegogo because of they have like these weird clauses that I just don't like, and I haven't had success with some of them. I prefer Kickstarter, but I supported another Kickstarter of his, and this sci-fi anthology showed up, so I was able to add it to my cart as an add-on. So I was happy about that. Yeah, that's Warbound. And last but not least, well, let me go to the Kickstarter page now. I'm going to tell you some ones that I recently backed. We Are Scarlet Twilight issue number 1. I backed that. Minx Cyberpunk season 2. I got Minx number 1. Inferno Girl Red by Matt Groom and Erica Del Urso. And where I heard about this one is the Minx I had already had, so this is the season 2. I already bought season 1. Inferno Girl Red, I read Radiant Black from Image Comics, and I liked it a lot. It's like Super Sentai kind of thing. There's no kaiju in it, but he gets like this diamond or gem, and it gives him the power of a Sentai. And he's kind of a guy that's busted out, doesn't have a job, but at the back of the book, Kyle Higgins talks about another one that's related in this universe, and that's called Inferno Girl Red. And it's going to tie into his universe, but it's only available on the Kickstarter. So I went over there, and I think this one's from Australia, and I bought that. Although this one is not a standard comic book, it's a thick book. It's quite expensive. It came out to $68, but you're getting like a hardcover. And it's from Australia, so the shipping is going to be a bitch. But I wanted it because I really enjoyed Radiant Black, and if this ties into the Radiant Black stuff, I want a part of it. I want to be part of it. Warbound number two. We just talked about Warbound. It's available on Kickstarter. I'm sure you can get one and two if you liked what I had to talk about. Billy the Kid, an original supernatural horror Western comic. It's about a Western rabbit. This is Justin Gray. You might know him from Jonah Hex and all the Freedom Fighters stuff and the stuff that he did with Palmiotti. They used to be a writing team called Palmiotti and Gray. And then when Palmiotti got married, he seems to have moved to write, co-write with Amanda Connor now. And Justin Gray's doing his own thing via Kickstarter. I have been super happy with everything Justin Gray does. Every time I get an email, there's a new Justin Gray. It's kind of like Evolution. I go and buy it. Legend of Oz, that's Big Dog Inc. I've been supporting these when they were in previews. I always bought all the Big Dog Inc. Penny for Your Soul was their biggest one. Legend of Oz was probably their second biggest one. There were several other publications. Well, he's kickstarting a lot of the stories now. He moved it over to Aspen for like a weird short period of time, and then the company dissipated. I don't know what happened, but it didn't look like things worked out. And now he's at the Kickstarter level, having a lot of success, in my opinion, and probably making more on a Kickstarter than he ever did publishing through previews. So that's where that one came from. Kill Count 2. I read Kill Count 1 and loved it. This is a little more than I want to spend. This one was $18, but it's like a tribute to 80s action stars like the Arnold Schwarzeneggers and all that kind of stuff, the Jean-Claude Van Damme, all kinds of crazy. It's the VHS action hero story, and this is that. It takes place in the 80s, and really, really fun stuff. I really like the first issue. It's been a long time coming to get the second issue, so I'm happy to support it. Passion Fruit is something about relationships I don't know anything about. It's my first endeavor with this particular artists and publication. The other one, Valkyrie Saviors, Key of the Storm. This one I supported, but I didn't realize it was already being published by Antarctic. If I did realize it, I wouldn't have kickstarted it. But I think it is part of Antarctic. I have to double check that one. Eerie Magazine number 4. We just talked about 2 and 3. That's available. The price of that is really good. It's $12 with shipping. It's an $8 book. $4 shipping, very reasonable, my opinion. That's a good. And it's a magazine size, and it's really big. And even though it's like a cardstock thick cover, it did get dented a little bit just because it was put the way it was shipped. But I highly recommend it. Guinevere and the Divinity Factory. I bought 1 through 3 and enjoyed those, so I'm a repeat customer with Guinevere. That one's a good. That's a $10 flat fee with free shipping. That's a good one. Blood and Bullets, a supernatural western. I don't remember if this one is a trade or what. Let me see what this is. I don't remember this one. It looks like a vampire western with the sexy woman on the cover, so I always like those. And I'm not sure. Oh, it's 48 pages, so it is quite expensive, this one, for 48 pages, and it's not a hardcover. But I did jump in on that one. The last one is Bloom. We talked about that one. That's from Hero Tomorrow. This is issue 2 of Bloom, and I bought the cover bouquet, which comes with covers A through F. And I have a matching set then with one, which is good. It says I have one message from him too. Oh, he just says, "Thanks for coming back, Mike and Barb." I have it under both our names, but so that gives you an idea of what I'm supporting on Kickstarter. I mean, there's a lot more. I get quite a bit. Some of the other ones that I've picked up lately and read. Another 4 Chambers of Fright. This is a horror anthology. That one was really good. That was a Kickstarter I picked up. Much like in the vein of the book I just talked about, like Eerie, except more with a comedy twist. Like it would end sort of in the same vein, but have like a humorous context to it. So the 4 Chambers of Fright, I would recommend. Stealth Hammer, I just read. It's an all ages book, done by Ryan Drost of the Star Joes podcast. That was a really good Kickstarter. Really professional done. Art was superb. Everything was done professionally. He's anal retentiveness for professionalism. So I expected it to be of high quality. And Ryan is a good friend. We met through the DC Noise, me doing DC Noise, and we met at several conventions, Baltimore Comic Con being a couple years and I spent with the Star Joe's crew. So I was happy to support that. He's getting a lot of recognition in Cleveland for, I think he's got it like in a couple of stores, local stores there, and also he has some press in the newspaper and also a TV spot in Cleveland somewhere where they did an interview with him. Jengar and the Shred, this is has a Listener cover, you know, Cry for Dawn, Michael Listener, and this one was really good. This one was like an Adam and Eve in a world of dinosaurs, and Lucifer escapes from heaven, and they sort of build a dome around the area that she's in. And then Jengar loses her lover, which is like Adam, and befriends a T-Rex that becomes very loyal and her deadly companion. Like he'll just rip people to shreds, protecting her. But it's really cool. If you're into like Sheen, Kazar and the stuff like that, you'll dig this one. Against the World, this is Evolution. This one I liked a lot. I like this one more. If Marcel listens to this, for me personally, this one clicked with me. I liked it more than Warbound. This was two parents. This is more in the fantasy realm, trying to save their dying child. And then they take it to a warlock to try to save, and he uses the Gem of Life to save her. Well, many years later, the queen wants the girl to sacrifice herself because the planet's coming apart and use that Gem of Life. But in order to use the Gem of Life, they have to sacrifice the girl. And then it has some backstory there and of a guy that it's get convoluted with like a guy that's forming a rebellion and also a doc the witch doctor and the rebel fighter that lost his people, and they sort of team up with this female character that escapes from the queen. I really like this story, Against the World. And I think that wraps up a lot of the Kickstarters that I've read recently. I've been trying to read more of them as they come in. But before I conclude this one falls into the other of the comics crowdfunding, print on demand, and other podcasts. This falls like on the other because it's not easy to get. There's a company called Bad Idea. You've heard about it. ENIAC number one. Their book is sold out. They went to the not first print. Both of them are very expensive on eBay. I think one's going for $100, one's going for the second print is going for more, which doesn't make any sense because the not first print is supposed to always be in stock. But it is what it is right now. And I read ENIAC number one. Like I knew going into this, I was frustrated with the whole process. I went with Third Eye Comics initially, and I paid for the book in February of 2020. And obviously, they didn't come out with the book until recently. But Third Eye cashed my PayPal or whatever, however I paid, right off the bat. They communicated with me like 3 months later, which was cool. And they said, Mr. Myers, we don't know when we're going to publish, or they're going to publish their stuff, especially with COVID and all that. So we don't know what we're going to do. You can get your money back. And I said, I'm going to let it ride. It was only like the $4 plus shipping. Let it ride. But then I was getting frustrated with the whole process, and I didn't want to commit to another store to get it. And I was waiting for Cowabunga because they said they were going to go, and then they didn't go, and then they were having communication problems with Bad Idea, and then they sealed the deal. But they sealed the deal after ENIAC, and they were going to be in the second wave, so which means they got the not first print. And in the meantime, my friend and co-host Joe Crawford said, "Hey, you know that Bad Idea is available on TFA, and TFA I've dealt with before, and it's like DCBS, and it's just an easier platform to order from." So I signed up on TFA. And I still, when I signed up for TFA, I didn't know that I still didn't know from Eric of Cowabunga what the status was going to be. And then a month after I signed up for TFA, Eric says, "Yes, we got our books coming in." So I got my ENIAC. I got a first print, two of them. From two different places, which is legit, because they can only sell one per store to a customer. And then I got a not first print from Cowabunga. And I knew I was going to like it. Well, Matt Kent is, oh God, he's doing Fear Case right now on Dark Horse and Crimson Flower. And Crimson, oh, they're so good. Oh my God, they're good. And Berserker for Boom, really good story. I like Berserker the least because it's something that I've sort of seen before. But Fear Case, sort of like 100 Bullets, but not. It's a mysterious historical case, which also plays a part in ENIAC because the first thing that Bad Idea did is they released a book and they didn't tell stores what it was. And a couple of stores, I think, might have thrown it in the garbage because, you know, they get a lot of comics. And if they get a comic from somebody they don't know it's, who it's from, they might say, "Well, I don't care. I don't care to read it. I'll just toss it." But what they didn't realize what they were. It's called a hero trade. Well, the hero trade was Matt Kent and David Laffam. But they didn't know that. Nothing was put on the material. But that book is going through a lot of money because they sent one per store, and it became a rarity. And now everybody. A Bad Idea has this aura around them that is sort of like Valiant Comics. And Valiant fans are like no other. They're very loyal and they're very loyal to Dinesh and they'll defend. I'm one of those fans, but I'm not as loyal as some of those guys. Like they'll do anything to get everything. And me, I'll get everything that I can get within reason. I don't shoot for every cover. I get pissed off when they do shenanigans. When they did with that Geomancer thing, where I had to get a $25 to get the first issue, it's pissed me off to no end. But I hate when they do shit like that because I'm a completist. Like, I want to be all in on Bad Idea, and then they throw in this shenanigans with this Pizza Boy detective crap. Where they send, it's only a dollar. Okay, here's the issue with this. They're gonna send this pizza detective book. It's a one shot. It's a dollar to these stores, but the concept behind this pizza detective book is it has to be bought on that day, May something. It has to be on that day, and what that means is that for the people that go through mail order, they have to buy it on that day, and the transaction has to ship on that day, and then everything that doesn't sell has to ship back to Bad Idea. So it's crazy shenanigans like that. And I know they love this collectible shit. Like, this publicity is giving them so much publicity, especially on eBay. And on the comic sites that get them in the hot 10 and stuff like that, because it's so hard to get, and that's why I'm talking about it. I don't know if I'm gonna get a pizza guy. I'm gonna talk to Eric and say, if you're gonna get it, I'd love to give you my dollar and get the comic. But these poor publishers are the ones that are suffering because they're having to work to get a book in and out. And have to monitor that just for $1, where the profit margin to them is nil, and they have all these demand because this book is going to be sought after, and they're the ones that have to suffer. Go listen to Challenger's comics podcast, and you'll see what they're have all the hoops that they're having to go through, and with these pins being put out, and people wanting to kill one another to get this gold pin that's like a 10-cent pin with the gold that says I'm number one on ENIAC, and they're selling for hundreds on eBay. It's sort of like this ridiculous. I don't like those shenanigans because it causes just make the material available so people could get it and be happy, especially when you have a paradigm like. We are only going to allow one per customer because then you're like catering to the reader market by doing that because the speculator can't go and buy a lot of copies without working so hard and having to go to like 25 stores to get 25 copies. Just sell it. If somebody wants to buy 25 copies, let them buy 25 copies. Instead, they're making like this niche, but it's instead of making it more available, it's making it more rare. But anyway, let's get back to ENIAC. ENIAC is about two women, and they're pretty sexy women. This is by Matt Kent, and I think it's Doug Braithwaite, both from Valiant. They're kind of like spy women. And their names are Olivia Fletcher and Allison Falk. And I don't know the relationship of the two women, but it gives us a couple of events early on where they're questioning an Afghani soldier that's killed Americans, and they're trying to find out how it's leading to the Russians. And that leads them to the Black Sea, where they find this one guy, and it leads them into Moscow, where they kill somebody else. And later on, they're being interviewed by a naked man who's the Secretary of Defense. Well, there's a computer called ENIAC, and this thing really exists. But ENIAC is like, if you ever seen War Games, where it became sentient. Do you want to play a game? I'm aging myself. It is a Matthew Broderick film, and it takes place like around Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs. But ENIAC is gaining sentience during World War II. They drop, we drop, he helps, ENIAC first develops, helps them develop through calculations the atomic bomb formula. And in doing so, the programmer learns to use artificial intelligence, machine learning, to make the machine just get its own personality. So when it starts crunching away, it looks at probabilities and numbers and says, well, if you drop the first bomb, you should drop the second bomb on Nagasaki and be 99% proof that you're going to win the war. Well, the way that's worded is ENIAC caused that second bomb to drop. It wasn't the United States saying we're going to drop the bomb. So then the United States, through history, is trying to stop ENIAC. And now he's got these, the Secretary of Defense is working with his two women to try to take down ENIAC. Really cool story. Some cool flashbacks with, there's like a Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos. They're called the Cutthroats, and his name is Sergeant Powers. Gives some flashback scenes of that, where they have to actually take out their Americans, their own soldiers, to try to stop ENIAC. And the Secretary of Defense, when he meets the two women, he's so afraid of like technology and being spied on by ENIAC that they have to show up in the desert where there's no fucking technology, and they're naked. I mean, he's naked, the two women are naked, and they're talking about ENIAC because they don't want to be tracked. They don't want anything to do with this. And God, it's such a good story. And then we talked about the Fear Case that Matt Kent was doing, which is from Dark Horse. Really good book. Highly recommend it. Crimson Flower, probably my favorite. Matt Lewinsky. Oh my God, his art is so hyper detailed and strange that I love it so much. Lesniewski, that's his name. Lesniewski. I actually met him at a con and bought one of his books, and in an artist alley with my friend and co-host Bill Bomer. And then he's doing this book with Matt Kent. Who would have guessed? But this one is also highly recommended. More hyper realistic in terms of art. Fear Case is your standard art fair, in my opinion. Tyler Cook, I think, is doing it. Lesniewski is a very, how can you describe his art? It looks like something out of Mad Magazine. Hyper detailed, but super exaggerated. Like some guy's beard will just be like, it almost feels like it's alive. He'll draw panels, and the panels are bordered by the shape of the woman's hair. It's really gorgeous. Love his stuff. Another person I just want to shout out is the guy who does the Derelict. If you ever see him at a con, his stuff is great. Look up the Derelict. The Derelict. Really good stuff. And then the backup has part of Hero Trade. I don't know if Hero Trade has a lot of pages, like if we're going to experience all of Hero Trade and the issues of the backup of ENIAC, because ENIAC 2 is out now, and so is Tankers. But it is a briefcase that this waiter steals from these two guys, and he can't open it right now, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And then I got a little confused about what happens after that. He sort of grabs it and then throws it away because he can't open it, and he doesn't know if it's going to blow up. And I got confused because then it cuts to the prison, and there's a guy in a prison cell that's breaking into a wall and getting to the electricity, and I don't know what that has to do with anything. I'm a little lost on that. And what's in this suitcase, but we'll see. That is ENIAC. I hope you enjoyed CC Pop. This is hopefully come out more frequently, but I can't promise. It basically is happens when I have time, and I haven't had a lot of time lately because of work. So hopefully I'll get around to doing this on a regular basis. But don't hold your breath. I just hope I can. I'm sure the listenership of this is very low. I've never got like feedback on it, so I don't know who's listening to it or if anybody cares, but it's a good thing for me to do anyway. Just one thing it makes me do is read the comics that I purchased on Kickstarter to talk about them, and then hopefully somebody sees the images and stuff and says, "Wow, that looks cool. Like, I want to add this, and this is how I would do it." I'd have to either go to the store and order it through mail, or go to Walmart to pick it up from the spinner rack there, or go to Indiegogo or Kickstarter or IndiePlanet or wherever you have to go to get these comic books. But hopefully, I give you a path forward on how to track them down. And I hope you enjoyed this. My name is Mike Myers, and you can find me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter, at Mike Myers Brunch, spelled MYERS. That's the best way to get a hold of me. You can send me email if you want to at mike@comicbooknoise.com. I am located at geekbrunchpodcast.com or dcnoisepodcast.com. You'll find this particular podcast at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And, let me know what you think. Do you like it? Am I giving too much details away? Is it sparking your interest? Would you like to know less, or would you like to know more? Because I don't know if I give too much away, if somebody will, it'll hurt somebody from buying this. That's not the intent of this. I want you to get excited about these products and then seek them out for yourself. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.